like it's easy, man. You know why we didn't win another Super Bowl? You know why I didn't win one? Because I didn't fucking win one. That's the reason why. We didn't play well enough. Like,
this is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead End Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inch. Joining me is FIFO and 12 Kyle. What's good, 12?
In the building, what in the doing? Building. What's good? What's good?
Nothing much. Chilling. Hey, guys, download the Radio Public app. Listen to the show on Dead End Sports is the way to support the show. Also, if you're catching any games, you can go to SeatGeek, download the SeatGeek app, and use the code Dead End, and that helps contribute to the show too. You get $20 off your ticket, your purchase for your first time usage. And real quick, subscribe to Dead End Hip Hop. We got some videos coming. The
Pusha
T.
Where can they subscribe, Ken?
YouTube, man. YouTube.
You got to tell them, man.
Hey.
You right. You got to tell them. Because trust me, there's some people that don't know what you're talking about.
You know what? You're right. Sometimes I forget that. The number's going up. So
exactly.
We're getting new, newer fans or
great
new listeners.
Great reviews
so.
Here recently, by the
yeah.
way.
So, you're right. So, appreciate everybody rocking with Dead End Sports. That's on YouTube. There's a podcast format coming soon too. I've been working on that for the last week. Also subscribe to the man sitting to my right. You guys can see it, 12 Kyle.
That's right. 12 Kyle podcast. Make sure you check it out. I'm on all social media platforms. It's a cool podcast, and if you like to be down with cool stuff, check me out.
And finally, finally check out the Is the Mic Still On podcast, dropping every week, every Wednesday. Chris Platty, Strictly B-Ball Talk and Strictly Hoop Talk, and of course Manny of the Technical File podcast. Cal said he was having a meltdown on Facebook Live because LeBron won. So he's salty. So I'm pretty sure he's going to enjoy the finals matchup after Boston couldn't pull it off in Game 7 at home, 10-0. At home.
And the one loss.
One loss.
The
one loss
that sends you home. That's crazy,
right? The one loss. Not only that, let's go ahead and throw something else out there for the record books. 37-1 now.
Mm-hmm.
They have never lost a series.
What, starting 0-2.
Starting, wow. Yeah.
Or two being up 2-0.
Right. 2-0. Never lost. So that's a stain. So that one loss, because that'll probably, I don't know if it'll happen again. We never know, but that'll loss to stick with you for a while. LeBron gave you that.
But you know what though, Ken? I think it's all about perspective, man. I always talk about perspective filters and a whole bunch of other FIFO-isms. But I think that this is the type of thing that catapults that young talent into wanting to be even better. Because I don't know if you saw what Jaylen Brown was saying. He said, basically what happened, the way that they lost, losing to LeBron. It
up
just makes,
12 in the second quarter.
Exactly. And, it just makes him want to get better. He just wants to go to the gym right now.
He's been saying that every year, dog.
But he's only been in the league 1 year. Okay, let's get it right.
This is his third year.
This is his second year. Last year he was a rookie.
Are you sure?
I'm positive, Ken. Last year he was a rookie. This is his second year. He's lost to the same guy 2 times in the same place. So, of course, he wants to get better. And I think he will get better. I think the person that is going to affect the most is Jason Tatum because look at how much impact he was able to have.
It's his team.
Who? You know what? You do not have the right to comment anything Boston Celtics.
I don't know why y'all follow this dude up, man.
It's not his team yet, Ken. 3-5.
It's not Kyrie's team.
It's Kyrie's team.
Kyrie's not even signing the extension. They're going to trade him in the offseason.
They're not going to trade him.
I know Danny Ainge came out and said,
Kyrie not being there was evident in Game 7.
Exactly.
Because Boston go, if you watch basketball, and the three of us watch a lot of basketball.
Boston, know what Ken be watching.
Boston goes through stretches. And we saw it in Game 7. They went through a stretch where they couldn't get a bucket. And then
with Kyrie sometimes.
Yeah, no, but Kyrie can – even when Kyrie was in Cleveland, when LeBron went off the floor, a lot of times you never saw the lead shrink because Kyrie was then the primary ball handler. He was the one that was going to be supplying the scoring. And I think what happened is that their youth showed up and they got nervous. They got the dunk from Jason Tatum. They got the three-pointer from Jason Tatum. And Jason Tatum didn't touch the ball anymore after that. After that, you get an offensive rebound from a three – one of the Morris twin, he shoots a three, mm-hmm. he bricks. They get an offensive
the LeBron
rebound.
Stopper.
You get another offensive rebound. Terry Rozier, excuse me, shoots another three. And these are, I mean, these are early shot clock threes. Yep. These are like, I'm talking like 16
but
seconds
shots
left.
They hit at home.
No. But when the shots
aren't falling, you have, which is going to be a theme on this podcast, when the shots aren't falling, you got to get good shots.
And it's not even just that. Like those shots that they were taking in that scenario that you were talking about, like those shots were heavier. And what I mean is those shots were like, okay, we're down 10 or whatever. This one shot's going to get us back.
Right.
And teams do that often. You know, like they might be down with about 2.5 to go. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they're just jacking everything up. Right. And that's what they did.
And at the time they were down, what, 4?
They weren't down much.
They weren't down by
they
much.
They weren't much.
Like 5. I think the lead was 5. Okay.
But they wanted to get
but you're down,
back.
You're down
in
5
one shot.
With 2 minutes left. You don't have to jack threes. Get a
you
good
don't.
Shot.
You don't.
Get a good shot. And that's where I think Kyrie's presence would have been felt.
That experience. Yeah. Look, man, Kyrie is a guy that has won, All-Star MVP. Mm-hmm. He went and won gold. You know, I don't think it was the Olympics. I think it was the summer, whatever it was. I know I watched that a couple years ago, and he was amazing. We've seen him in the finals, even game one when he got hurt a couple years ago.
Right.
You giving that thing to Chef?
No question.
Chef, cook this up. I got some ingredients for you. You know what I'm saying? Can you handle them? You know. Right. And then when they got back, I can't even. You know, all of the other 30, 40 point performances, game 1 through 6, cool. You know what I remember, Ken? I remember that 3. You know what I remember? I remember Klay Thompson can't do nothing with the boy. Who on Cleveland would have gave him something to work with? Kyrie would have ate these guys alive, including Bron. Bron can't do nothing with Kyrie. Bron cannot. Bron's kryptonite defensively, especially now that he's even older. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But even when he was young, was herky-jerky point guards. He could never do nothing with CP when CP was young. He can't do Tony Park. He can't do nothing with those guys. They're just too mobile. So Kyrie now in Kyrie's prime, after coming off of hitting that big shot in game 7 a year prior, he wanted this challenge. Mm-hmm. So you can't tell me over here, Scary Terry, get that man.
Terry wanted it too.
Max deal.
But he ain't Kyrie though.
Right.
That's the reason why he not going to get no max contract. That's the reason why he going to settle for maybe $10 million a year, you know, 3-4 year, $30, $40 million contract. That's about it. That's what he's worth.
Why wasn't Kyrie at the game then?
Do you know why he wasn't?
I know what they're saying.
What do you mean, man?
Nah, you know he has surgery. Like it's you know
he can't fly. He couldn't fly with the type of surgery.
Why would you have it now, though?
Because he wants to get ready for the.
Maybe
did you hear what Brad Stevens said?
Maybe he had the surgery scheduled.
Yeah, he said
and didn't anticipate that the team was going to go this far.
What Brad Stevens say?
Brad Stevens says training camp can't come soon enough. Yeah. Kyrie's on that same wavelength. You know what? Let me get all these surgeries. Let me get all that up out the way. And just like Kyle just said, we don't know when that surgery was already scheduled for.
I'm not going to knock him for that.
Yeah, I'm not going to knock him for that. If he got surgery, I have zero problem with that.
I don't know, man. Yeah, like they could have used him on the bench during that game.
Well, I mean, Hayward was there. Well, I mean,
it wouldn't have made no
difference.
Hayward's not a champion.
My point in saying that is that they – Boston's youth showed up. We have been waiting to see could they get over the hump, and their youth showed up. They had game 7 on their home floor, and they just lost it. And, I mean, you know, there's no shame in losing to LeBron, but it happens.
It is when you talking crap. When you know
that's part of basketball. That's part of basketball, Ken.
We think we can beat him. We're going to beat
him. Of course.
You know, game 7. What Marcus said, game 7 is going to be, you know, ugly.
He said it was
going to
be ugly and brutal, and it was.
It was for them. Did you guys have any doubt, though? Like, because Cleveland didn't look good
at all. No, I didn't have any doubt. I'm going to tell you why I didn't have any doubt. I picked Cleveland to win in 7. Before the series started, and I picked the Warriors to win in 7. So I didn't have any doubt. I just
– Even when they were down 12 and couldn't
buy a
basket.
When we sent the text, I told you guys, I trust in a game 7, I said I trust LeBron. I don't necessarily trust his teammates. But I think LeBron – there were points in that game where LeBron, he wasn't even scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't facilitating anything like that. He was letting his guys kind of get his field. That's when Jeff Green got off. That's when, you know, other guys were stepping up making buckets. JR hit a couple of threes. And LeBron was just kind of patiently waiting. And then when they got to the fourth quarter, it was clutch time then.
Well, here, Ken, to answer your question, I definitely was worried a little bit. I was because in that first half, just their body language, right? Like it wasn't make or miss. It wasn't none of that. I was watching everybody else's body. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Kyle, I'm not worried about Bron anymore. Bron, he done passed every test that you want him to pass. He's guaranteed, pencil him in. Mm-hmm. You know what you're gonna get, right? Yep. So I wasn't worried about Bron, but I was watching everybody else's body language. And when they got down double figures in the first half, and I saw how they were, I'm like, oh man, this could get ugly. Mm-hmm. But then when I saw in the third quarter where they kind of made their run, I got worried again because I felt that Bron was – it almost felt like he was pressing at a certain point in time, where he was just trying to get shots. Nobody else is hitting nothing. I was trying to get them involved. They not hitting. I'm letting them do their own thing. They not hitting. So I got to do something. And there was one play that sticks out to me where it was an inbounds play. JR was at the top of the key. LeBron was inbounding the ball. He ran to Bron. He was wide open. LeBron looked him off, gave it to, I want to say it was Larry Nance, got it back and took a contested jumper when J.R. Smith was open. J.R. Smith's body language just let him know, like, oh, my God, I'll come over here and play defense after I didn't get the ball and it was wide open. But then a couple possessions later, he came down and hit a three. Okay. So I was like, okay, he might be all right. But that point is when I saw J.R.'s shot go in, I saw Bron starting to take over, I was like, this right here, this moment right here is where they need Kyrie.
Yep.
And at that point, I was no longer worried because I knew that even Jason Tatum, as good as he is, he's not ready to duel LeBron. Like, you, no rookie is ready to duel LeBron, especially this version of LeBron. So I was like, there's nobody else that they can go to because Horford, obviously the most experienced guy out there, but he's not that type of player. He's not going to go get you buggers when you need buggers like that.
Still hasn't beaten LeBron.
Still hasn't beaten LeBron. But
two different teams.
You know what? Here's the thing, man. With this squad, for them to get as far as they did, for them to push Cleveland as far as they did, with as much youthfulness on that roster, makes them extremely scary. And it's not just that. It's the fact that they got picks. They got rookie contracts. They got value in those rookie contracts. So Danny Ainge can do whatever the hell he wants to do. Mm-hmm. If he wants to trade Kyrie, which I think is a major mistake, you know what I'm saying? You can do that. If you want to trade Gordon Hayward, which I think is the more sensible trade asset, or honestly, the person I would get rid of, and I love him to death, Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
Mainly because he's the guy. You know, I think when you look at it, he's the odd man out.
He kind of thinks he's at times better than he is.
Of course, but that's the type. That's the reason why he's made the strides he's made.
No,
this year.
I love that, but at times he's like that's a detriment to him. You know, when he's out there, especially when it's not really going his way.
But you know what though, Ken? Are you talking from just the offensive perspective or are you talking the total game? Because the thing is that a lot of players, their offense dictates what they do defensively. Mm-hmm. That's not the case for Jaylen. He can miss 10 straight shots and he's going to be the scrappy son of a gun on that defensive end. And to me, that's valuable.
Yeah. But I mean, he took like 10. He was 2 from 10 from three.
Yeah.
Like he was jacking them bad boys up.
Yeah. But he had a lot of wide open joints too.
Yeah, I think they had 11 uncontested 3-point shots.
He and Rozier, they gave you everything they had in game six, and their game did not travel. They left their games in
I had a feeling that was going to happen. I had a feeling that Terry Rozier.
It can happen with young teams.
But you as a GM will give him max money though. Oh, okay. Because I'll hit your wagon ahead.
I don't know if I said max, but
I think you did.
Because I'm building my team around Jason Tatum. He is the star.
But Ken, how does this make sense to you in your brain? How are you, even if Tatum is your centerpiece of your team, which I don't disagree, but why would you want Terry Rozier versus Kyrie Irving?
Because Terry Rozier has proven that he can make shots. Yeah, he struggled.
You prove it when? Just like James Harden, huh?
No, wait.
When it was money time, who went 0 for 11? Who went 0 for 11?
Lem.
He's young.
You can't use that, Ken.
This is why I'm glad I came.
You can't use that.
This is why I'm glad I came, because if not, these two would be here fighting. I can't. You can't. Kyrie Irving's not going anywhere. He's a perennial all-star. He is the leader of this team.
They're
going
to trade him.
You got to give Boston credit for, at the very least, making it as far as they did, because, one, they lose Gordon Hayward 5 minutes into the season, right? And then we say, okay, well, maybe Kyrie can carry him. And then we get a month before the playoffs start, and Kyrie goes down. He's got to have the surgery on his knee. So we're like, okay, well, there. And so what do we say? We all said, well, shit, the pathway's clear for Cleveland. And here come these scrappy little dudes from Boston, and they give them everything that they had. Now, that team is scary. That team that we just saw, this experience right here is invaluable. This will pay dividends for them. Yep. Maybe not next year.
No, it will.
Well, it'll pay back next, but I'm saying as far as titles.
Yeah, of
this,
course.
What we're seeing now is in a roundabout way similar to what we saw in Golden State. Now, I'm not saying it with the shooters. I'm just talking about as far as
they needed to take the levels, just like young OKC.
Exactly.
Right? Like every year they finally made the playoffs. Wait, hold on. That OKC squad. Once they finally made the playoffs, they lost in the first round.
Right.
Next year, they lost in the second round. Next year, they lost in the third round. Then they finally got to
the
finals.
That's the level of progression.
This is their second exit in the Eastern Conference Finals.
It takes time.
It's two different squads. Ken, who's the only consistent player?
Yeah.
Horford and Jaylen Brown, if you want to put him in.
Oh, yeah, and Horford will get you over the top.
Thank you for being here, Kyle. Thank you for being the mediator.
Come on, man.
Because, Ken... No, I'm not saying Horford's going to get you over the top. I'm not saying Jaylen Brown's going to get you. Listen, Ken, I'm not saying all of that. What I'm saying is that as long as you got Brad Stevens, right, what are the three consistents from last season? This is a brand new squad.
Yeah.
You don't have IT no more. You don't have Avery Bradley no more. This is a brand new team. Okay, Marcus Morris.
Marcus Smart.
Horford and Jaylen Brown. You got four guys. You got a third of the team.
Yeah, Marcus Morris said he doesn't know how he fit in the team. I just saw that on Bleacher Report.
Well, you know what? Whatever, man. It don't matter. Look, when you got Brad Stevens, everybody fit on a damn team. But look, my point to you is this. Terry Rozier showed you in the playoffs exactly what he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's a backup guard.
No, he's a starter.
He's not starting for that
team. No, he's not a starter in the NBA.
If Kyrie is healthy, no, he's not starting over Kyrie.
Okay,
what other squad is he starting for?
You took the word right out of my mouth.
Name me a team.
Hold on.
Is he starting in New York?
Yeah, he can start in New York.
Just because they ain't got nobody. But as soon as they draft somebody, he's not going to be starting.
He can start in New York. He can start.
I take him here.
Miami?
I take him here over Dennis Schroeder.
Hell no. You tripping, Kyle.
Indiana? You don't like Schroeder.
Indiana?
No.
Get out of here.
Who they got? Jeff Teague?
No, that's Minnesota.
What's the point guard in Indiana?
I don't know, but Terry Rozier ain't starting.
Was it Collison?
Oh yeah, he can definitely start.
Okay, so let's move off of that. So we see that Boston made this stride, but I mean, the elephant in the room, LeBron is going to his eighth consecutive NBA final. People talk about, you know, his level of accomplishment. Is this where are you putting this? And again, I'll throw it to you. Where are you putting this as far as this? Because this is not something that's been done before. Or is he getting too much credit?
Not in the modern era, because, you know, there was a graphic that went up that showed that Bill Russell, one thing, did it like 10 times.
Yeah.
You know, he played with the Celtics.
But, I mean,
you
it
know,
was like
of course all of those dudes was in the 50s and 60s.
It was like seven teams in the NBA back then.
Right.
So everybody made the playoffs.
Yeah, so it was a little bit different time.
And that's not to discredit the great Bill
Russell. You know, I just think back to what Kerr said. You know, he said he couldn't play in this NBA. He said he looked at the guys that are on the court now. He said there's no way he will be able to play in this NBA. So I think that speaks to the level of talent that's in the NBA right now. A lot of people, you know, rip the East, you know, saying it's watered down, this, that, and the other. And there may be some validity to that, but to get out of the Eastern Conference eight times, and I really want to go back and just really look at the East.
The East isn't as strong as the West, but as someone who's watched NBA basketball since 1980, I will remind you that the Lakers and the Rockets were the only teams to come out of the West in the 80s. That's it.
Yeah.
And so you never hear the saying, well, Magic had a cakewalk to the through, and technically probably did, you know, looking back on it. I mean,
when you look at that roster.
Not even just that roster, other than the years that Houston had, you know, Hakeem and Ralph Sampson, you know, the Lakers were pretty much, you pretty much could pencil them in for the finals. So I don't like I don't like the narrative that people take to use that to discredit LeBron, because at this point you can only play who's put in front of you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not going to knock LeBron because he didn't play in 1989.
But it's, even this whole super team thing, like the Lakers, the Magic Johnson's Lakers mm-hmm. were better than any squad LeBron played on.
Oh, no question.
You know what I'm saying?
No question.
That squad is better than any team LeBron has played against outside of Golden State.
Yeah, and if you put him in a time machine and depending on which rules, it would be interesting to see how that Laker team would match up against this Golden State team. So, I mean, it depends on who you ask, to be honest, Ken, because people will use it to give LeBron credit or discredit mm-hmm. LeBron. So it just depends on who you ask.
You know what? I think the thing is with LeBron, you have to look at the numbers when they matter.
Right.
People talk about he's not clutch, he's not this, he's not that.
That's out the door now.
Yeah, it is. It is. Because we're talking about this man is 6-0 or 7-0 in game 7.
6-0.
6-0 in game 7. Averaging 35, like 12-9.
He makes it look so easy. And I think we have become, as basketball fans, so, you know, we see it so often that we just kind of take it for granted. And that's why I was telling somebody on Twitter earlier today, like, you can just kill the Jordan-LeBron discussion. And the reason why I think you should kill it is because people are spending too much time worrying about that, and you're missing the greatness mm-hmm. in what you see. What we're seeing now, we're not going to see this again.
No.
When I saw Michael Jordan in 1988, when I saw him in 1991, when I saw him in 1996, I knew I wasn't going to see that again. There were glimpses. Your boy Kobe, he mm-hmm. was a bad boy, but he wasn't Jordan. And mm-hmm. appreciate LeBron for what he is, because the fall off, there's going to be a fall off.
Mm-hmm.
And when the fall off comes, you're going to be, and then it's some people right now, just like it's a lot of people that are, you know, quote unquote, protecting Jordan, if you will, or his legacy, and protecting Kobe's legacy. And they didn't like Jordan and Kobe when they were playing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's we're going to see the same thing 10, 15, 20 years from now.
Of course.
It'll be people, oh man, LeBron was a bad boy, and you didn't even like LeBron mm-hmm. back then.
I'll tell you this. I think when LeBron retires, he will probably surpass Jordan. And I say that because I think this generation, this young generation, will elevate him the same way we're elevating MJ.
It's possible.
I just had a feeling that's
personally, I don't think he I have other criteria that I would have to get him in, but I'm beyond trying to compare the two, because it's like comparing a Benz and a Beamer. I mean, like, it's two right. different things. And I think you have to understand and appreciate the era and the time in which he's getting this done. And, you know, Jordan didn't play in the social media era. LeBron didn't play in the 80s. I mean, like, it's – I think you do yourself a disservice trying to compare the two. But I think you can't – like, I saw somebody today had mentioned that, you know, they were talking about, you know, LeBron going to his eighth consecutive final. And somebody said, well, hell, the Buffalo Bills went to 4 Super Bowls. You know, what's the difference? And it's two different things. Like, you got to compare apples to apples, right. You know. And, I mean, like, you can make a case if you want to, quote-unquote, hate, you can make a case for anything. But I think that is still to be appreciated, because nobody else in the history of the NBA did what he did with this kind of roster turnover.
Right. And
I mean, this is a brand-new team.
He had two teams in one season.
Two teams in one season.
I've never seen that.
The reason why I think they're going to redefine greatness, that's what every generation does. And the other thing is, for me, let's...
But it's not... Hold on, Ken. Because I like that phrase that you use. Mm-hmm. It's not about redefining it. It's defining it.
Defining that era of greatness.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, Jordan was the definition of the 80s and 90s. And I would say that Kobe took the late 90s into the mid-2000s, early 2000s. Yeah. That was the definition of greatness. And then now, LeBron is the definition of greatness for this era. There's going to be other guys. We're probably watching them right now. It could be Ben. It could be Jason Tatum. It could be Donovan Mitchell. I don't know. It could be somebody coming up in this draft mm-hmm. that redefines what this era's greatness is.
Right. But there's a we have two sets of standards now. We have the 6-0 standard set by MJ, and now we're gonna have an 8-0 standard set by LeBron. Now he's going against teams that are better than him. But you know, I was thinking about this when I was driving in, like. Could Jordan have taken this team to the finals?
Oh, you talking about this Cleveland squad?
This Cleveland squad.
More than likely, no. I don't think he could have.
In the 80s? I mean, it depends.
Right, this generation.
You know, the only reason why I say that is because look at how Jordan struggled in the first round of playoffs. Mm-hmm. Look at how, you know, before he got Phil, before he got Scotty, what he was. He was purely a scorer.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was a dunker. Exactly. There was no jumper.
And the thing about LeBron from day one is he elevated everything. Everybody.
Right.
And if you can't elevate everybody, that means that you need other guys either at your level or you need a system that'll elevate people to play better. And Jordan is not one of those guys that's going to make you play better. Jordan's going to hold your ass accountable.
He's going to hold your ass
accountable. You know what I'm saying? but he's not necessarily going to elevate you or even trust in you because he's going to look at you, oh, yeah, you wide open, but guess what? I'm going to shoot this fadeaway against three people, and I'm going to make it. And I'm going to do that every time until I miss, right? LeBron is like, look, man, you wide open. I'm going to make that pass every time. And it doesn't matter if you miss 10 shots in game seven. With 2 seconds to go, if they quadruple TB, I'm going to pass this ball. And I think that's the difference. And like you said, Ken, that redefinition, you know, setting different standards, it's part of culture. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because at some point in time, all of these guys are just a wrinkle in time.
Yeah.
And guess what? 20, 30 years from now, when your beard is fully gray, you know what I'm saying? You done had your twins. You know what I'm saying? And when I'm old as shit, you know what I'm saying? Oh, damn. I'm over here cussing. When I'm old as hell, you know, my kids gonna be like, daddy, you know, this is the greatest. I'm be like, son, you ain't never seen Jordan or LeBron, did you?
Exactly.
You know, so these guys are just wrinkles in time, and they're just resetting what the era that they played in's greatness is defined by. And what LeBron is doing is never going to be done. Just like what Jordan did is never going. Bruh, when you look at that graphic and you see five or more straight finals appearances and everybody's in the 40s to the 60s and LeBron is the only guy in the mod, that looks hella weird. You're talking about 1946 to 1964.
And then if you look at it, too, there's going to be a segment of the population that's just going to look at the results. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, nobody – I remember Bird losing – I remember Magic losing finals, but, you know, I know the finals records. You know what I'm saying? So ultimately it's going to come to that. But I think what you said is key is that if you let it stand alone on its own instead of trying to compare it to what Jordan – because they'll never – LeBron has no – chance in going 6-0. He'll never go 6-0. So you can't preach to the 6-0 crowd. You know what I'm saying? You can't preach to the Kobe crowd. Let LeBron's greatness be defined by what it is that he's doing. He's setting a standard. And if we just see that for what it is and take it for what it is, everything else will work itself out.
Yeah.
You know something that has to be talked about in terms of the greatness of LeBron? Never missed a season.
No.
Never been injured.
Never.
He's a true Iron Man. He's a model of consistency. You know what I'm saying? I think Jordan was a model of consistency as well. You know, but to me, LeBron is more consistent.
Well, Jordan broke his foot.
Mm-hmm.
So he was out of season. He was out most of his sophomore season. Mm-hmm. And he came back, and that's when he dropped 63 on Bird and those guys in the playoffs. But he's been the model of consistency. And then if you look at the numbers, that's where it's scary.
Exactly.
Because he's what, 34? 33?
Going to be 34 this year.
So 33 years old, and there's no sign. I mean, technically, I would say he's on the downside of his prime.
Of course.
Those numbers don't suggest that he's on the downside of his prime.
Not at all. And even when you watch him, the eyeball test shows you, okay, he doesn't have the same energy level.
Right.
He doesn't have the same stamina.
Nope.
You know, even though it's still legendary. The stamina, even today, is still legendary.
He's calculating. Right.
Exactly. He knows how to, when to pick and choose, okay, let me exert my energy now. Let me conserve it here. You know, and that's what experience teaches you. Because I'll be on the court, too, with these young whippersnappers running around. Be like, hey, bro, hey, come here. Let me grab the jersey real quick.
You know you're getting somebody's best effort every night.
Every night. Because you the king.
Yep.
You the king. And because you are a standard in the league, everybody's trying to measure themselves to you. Like, why do you think Jason Tatum bumped him after the dunk?
You got to.
You have to.
You got to.
Because he's the guy.
And he would have been happy with a tech.
Yeah, he would have been. I would have been too.
Like, fuck it. I dunked on LeBron in the playoff game.
You know what's even crazier? Like, you know, he played 48 minutes last night. Yeah. Like it was nothing.
Yep.
You know, and that's what kind of going back to what you were saying about.
He's 5-0 when he plays 48 minutes. That's crazy too.
Wow. Is that, you know, looking at the games of Jordan and LeBron, is like what made what he did Sunday so masterful is that, and you referred to it earlier, Kyle, is that, you know, he kept passing to his teammates. He kept, even when they were down 10, 12 or whatever, he kept giving them guys opportunities, and Boston kept missing their opportunity push the lead. And then next thing you know, it's a 4-point game. And then they come out, they run a couple of sets, they struggle early, like people said earlier, in the third quarter. Boston had a chance to push it again. They couldn't. Then JR finally hit a shot, because I think they ran a set for JR. And if you remember, in Game 7, JR was key in that comeback in the second half, because I think he scored like 8 points. So they kept trying to get JR going because they knew he needed him. JR hit some shots. Jeff Green got going. And then JR said it. He said it after the game. He said, we looked down when we took the lead. We looked and we saw that they were defeated, that their confidence was gone. He said after that, we was just like, okay, we're going to push forward. And he said once we got the lead, that was it. But they don't get there without LeBron. They don't get there if LeBron does what Mark Jackson and Van Gundy wanted him to do, was to beat Jordan and go out there and take over. He knew that he needed those guys to get there. The other thing about what's so fascinating about LeBron is that, in spite of everything that's going on, he's probably going to go to the finals, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Even though he's losing, everybody still, like, wants to beat him.
Of course.
Everybody acknowledges that he is the best player in the world and that he is the king. Regardless, like, you go, what is records? 3-5. In spite of all of that, the losses, they still give him that respect and look at him as, like, people in the modern day NBA are arguing and debating whether or not he's the GOAT. His peers, his own peers. And he doesn't have this perfect finals record. That is crazy to have that type of respect. And I think the guys that play basketball know that when you're playing against four all-stars and a loaded team like Golden State Warriors, what do you expect is going to happen, right? That's inevitable. James Harden found it out last night, you know.
His name will not be mentioned on this podcast until next season.
We got to talk about
him. Well, after tonight's podcast, we ain't talking about the bearded one until next season.
Let's, you know what? That's the segue. We got to do it. Wow. 2 double-digit leads blown. 17 and a 15-point lead. A 15-point lead at home.
Home.
And you're the best team throughout the regular season.
65 wins. The MVP. The MVP can't get you
the
one
regular
win.
Season MVP.
He struggled the whole series. I don't care about these counting stats points.
But you know when he started struggling?
When?
When Utah said, you know what? We ain't going nowhere. Right. And mentally,
right.
From that point forward, I want to say.
When Utah did what?
When Utah didn't go away quietly.
Oh, okay.
And Donovan Mitchell was putting all them boys in a blender. Yeah. Right. Once he started doing that, I saw James Harden just continue to cower and cower away from the moment. And it at the same time, CP continued to step up and step up and step up. And it became CP's team versus James Harden's team. Because all season it was James Harden's team. CP was like, hey, bro, hey, good. I ain't got to do much.
Yeah, right.
I never had this.
Which is what he wanted to do when he went to Houston.
Of course, because he's older. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Like you know, the older you get, the more talent you want around you because you understand, you know what, man, it is way too much just for me to try to get a W. You know, but even when you're older and you're great, you have moments. You can pull on them drawstrings and be like, hey, let's tighten up, and I got us.
Right.
But to me, James Harden's just overall body language, his confidence, I felt a difference in that game. I want to say it was game 4 when they played – No. I want to say it was either game 4 or game 5. I can't remember. I don't remember if it was the last game in Utah or that closeout game in Houston. But one of those games, somewhere in between one of those games, James Harden just didn't look like the MVP anymore. And we saw it especially in the Golden State series, right? Like his number, because he scored 30-something last night, right?
Yeah.
32?
32, yeah.
Those were empty 32.
Yep.
You know, and I remember Rod always talking about, oh, well, you know, LeBron, he don't score when it counted that. I can't remember the last time seeing LeBron score an empty 30-something in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? James, I don't know what it is. Because we saw it way back in OKC when they played against Miami. He just shrunk, and he continues to shrink. And for me and this whole Houston squad, I love CP. Mm-hmm. Respect him. I love what Daryl Morey has been able to put together. You know what I'm saying? He's changed that culture. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, if James Harden is your MVP superstar, you're not winning jack.
Nope. Yeah, they got problems.
They
got
to trade him.
Yeah, they got. Whoa.
Yeah, well, I won't go that far.
You got to get rid of him.
I wrote some things down here. I got James, and I never come here with stats, but James Harden in his last three elimination games, and this includes last night, 14 points where he went 2-for-11 with 12 turnovers.
I remember
elimination
that
game before that. I mean, elimination game after that. 10 points, 2-for-11, 6 turnovers. Last night he went 12-for-20. So he got 32 points, mm-hmm. but it was 12-for-29. So he took 29 shots, mm-hmm. Going 2-for-13 from 3 with 5 turnovers. Like you said, that's an empty 32. 600 dribbles. I heard that somewhere today. I'm like, he had 600 dribbles last night. The closest person was Eric Gordon. He had 250.
Eric Gordon kept attacking the basket. I don't know what the hell James Harden didn't have a choice.
He channeled Chris Paul.
He didn't have a choice. I think Harden, you're right, something in his body language, and he has this reputation since his days at OKC of disappearing in the playoffs in the bigger moments. He got tired. I think if we go, and I have to look back at the
You using that this season?
No. I'm talking about he just got, I don't know if he got worn down or they wore him down.
No, Kyle. I can't allow you to come over here with all that.
No, they I'm not making excuses for him.
They were saying here's my thing on that.
I think during the regular season, he got all of the calls and everything like that. Golden State mm-hmm. was slapping him around, okay. pushing him around.
Okay.
I think Jay, and then like
they were doing the same thing to Curry.
Well, here's the thing though. If you look at, I actually paid attention to this. Look at James Harden's body. James Harden doesn't physically look.
Yeah, he's not super cut up.
No, he's not cut up enough. But if you look at Steph, Steph done got a little muscle.
Oh, yeah. Steph done been working out.
So my thing is, I think Harden, what he needs to do is, I don't know who his trainer is. He got to get in. I mean, like,
you know what?
Let me finish. Mm-hmm. The reason why I say that is because I think he got warned that he was trying to get those calls, and then after a while, he stopped attacking the basket. He settled, and like he just kind of took a step back and like, okay, I'm gonna let y'all do this. But CP wasn't out there.
But this is the reason why I can't allow you to come with that gibberish over here, where our sports opinions collide, Kyle,
right.
Because Jordan went through the same thing against Detroit, right?
And what did he do?
But did he stop going to the rack?
But didn't Jordan bulk up though?
That's my point. Okay, I give you all that.
Okay.
But my point is that he's tough. He's weak up here in the mental department in terms of James Harden.
I agree.
And I think that if you are mentally tough, doesn't matter how bad they beat you down physically, mm-hmm. you want it so bad that you're going to, hey, I'm at your door again. You know what I'm saying? And to me, that I'd rather take somebody that's mentally tough versus physically tough all day. All day. Give me that guy. Because you know what? Doesn't matter. They smack you across the face like they did to LeBron. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come over here and make this free throw. I'm knocking at this door. You know what I'm saying? And James Harden, you got me over here. Man, look, you bringing back some memories because I remember the last time I coached some soft-ass kids.
Okay.
And I was beside myself. How I'm talking right now is how I was talking to them kids. Because what the hell do I say during this game to get you mentally tougher? Because these other guys is punking the hell out of you. Mm-hmm. I got two tough guys and the rest of y'all soft. What am I supposed to do with that? Right? And then luckily both of my best players weren't the soft guys. But if your best player is mentally soft, how do you overcome the hurdle?
Mm-hmm.
You can't. It doesn't matter if James Harden hit the damn weight room, he come back looking like LeBron next year. As soon as he don't get the calls, what's going to happen? Yeah. I didn't get no calls, man. I can't do that. 6 turnovers, 30 shots for 30 points. That's why I'm saying trade him. Look, I think, and I said this a couple of podcasts ago. GMs, owners, everybody that's involved with decision making in the NBA, sometimes you take too long to make decisions. Mm-hmm. And part of why Belichick, and obviously it's a different sport, but you can take ideologies from any sport and apply it. I'd rather get rid of a guy 2 years too early than a year too late. And I think with James Harden, if your true aspiration is to win a championship, you got one out of the two stars you need.
Right.
Because James Harden ain't it.
But Daryl Morey built this team
around James.
On the strength of, he felt like this team, when I say Daryl Morey, I mean the GM for the mm-hmm. Houston Rockets, built this team on the strength of that he thought that they were good enough to beat this team.
And they were.
Yeah.
They were. I picked them to win.
You shouldn't have done that, but they were good enough to win.
I disagree I shouldn't have done that.
I've seen this movie play out before. Kyle, I just didn't think.
We cannot.
Obviously, the elephant in the room is CP3.
Thank you.
If CP3 plays, it's a different guy. I don't know. It's game seven goes differently. I don't know if they necessarily win, but it definitely goes differently. We'll never know. I'll say this, though. The problem with Houston is that, like you said, it's the leadership. When you have your MVP, he looked defeated. When Golden State made that run, there wasn't nothing they could do. Mm-hmm. You knew right then. I was watching the game with my sons. I said, look at them. I said, look at their body language. Mm-hmm. I said, they're defeated. Eric Gordon was the only person mm-hmm. had something mm-hmm. in his face.
Or CP. CP was getting in everybody's right. face. Where's James Harden? Where's James Harden? When you're the leader of a squad, hey, bro, what is you doing, man? Hey, you ain't hit nothing. Get to the rack.
Getting them hyped. I think we saw that
a couple of games ago.
Yeah, he was doing that on the bench. That's why I don't feel like I was wrong in my pick. They were right there. CP3 got hurt. And we'll never know. But we do know that with CP3 on the court,
they had
a 3-2 lead. And given that they had a 17-point lead, you know, maybe because it's in the is at Oracle, they'll blow that, right?
Right.
Home court advantage. And we've seen CP3 and James Harden blow leads in the past, big leads in the past. I'm not ignoring that. But we also saw a different CP3 in the playoffs this year.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a CP3 that went at the Warriors, who came back when in the third quarter, shimming in Steph Curry's face. Mm-hmm. Like, he was hitting impossible shots. So if you give CP3 a 15-point lead, I don't think he would relinquish that lead.
Not at home.
And that's why, you know, if you look at Daryl Morey, that's why – he has to feel sick, because that was the one X factor that was missing. So when D'Antoni was like, oh, yeah, if you told us we had a game seven at home in our building, you know, against the Warriors, would we take it? Yes, you would, with a healthy CP3.
Yeah.
Without CP3 and James Harden as your leader.
He didn't
believe
that either.
You're not going to win that game. And I'll tell you where they lost this game. Things were rolling, looking good. They were still taking dumb shots in the first half. And I was watching it with my father-in-law. I was like, what are you doing? Eric Gordon was taking ridiculous threes, like 30-footers. Like, what are you doing? Right. He managed to hit one. But where they lost that game, they were up 15. Harden came down, and he did his signature move, took a three.
I remember that.
He got fouled, didn't call it. Mm-hmm. But they haven't been calling that mm-hmm. in the playoffs this whole season. But he was fouled. He's been getting that call. Then he came back and tried to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Still didn't get a call.
And
the Warriors hit threes. Mm-hmm. The Warriors came back and they hit threes. And then the game got down, the score got down to 9, and then they managed to push to 11. But at that point, you take twos, you probably can get it to 17, probably can get it to 19. Because let's be honest, the Warriors were rattled in the first half.
Yeah, they were rattled in the first half. But you know what I go back to, and you made a good point with that scenario. I go back to something you said years ago. On this very podcast, you said a 15-20-point lead is nothing to the Warriors. And you know what's funny? I was watching the game last night, and when the Warriors got on that run, I wasn't looking at the score. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching the game, and then I look up at the score, and I'm like, damn. And I said it out loud. I'm like, damn, they're up 9? Mm-hmm. And my son was like, yeah, Dad, they're up by 9. And like, it happened so fast. I mean, like, they literally went from being down 11 to up 9 mm-hmm. within a matter of minutes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I'm sitting there in amazement. Like, I saw it, but I
didn't register.
Yeah, it didn't register. Yep. I mean, like, it was the, and then Curry got hot.
Yep.
Then Clay, and Clay.
It's an avalanche. With Golden State, see, this is why they're so scary, because it's not just one guy. Like right. most NBA teams, even if you have a big three, it's one guy that you fear. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, we can't let him get hot. We can't let him get everybody else involved. We can't. You know what I'm saying? This one guy. But with Golden State, man, you got a guy that has the NBA record for most points in a quarter. You know what I'm saying? You got arguably the greatest shooter of all time. Right. And then you have the best scoring person in the NBA right now. And then to top all of that off, you have the ultimate glue guy in the NBA right now. So it's so scary. And that's why I said years ago, and I still say it to this day, that 20 points ain't jack for Golden State. That's literally. Think about how they score, right? They want to kill you with the three.
Mm-hmm.
Three possessions, three threes. If you have a 20-point lead, that's an 11-point lead.
Right.
Quickly. And how quick? Because they ain't running they ain't shooting with 4 or 5 seconds left on the shot clock. They shooting with 12 or 14 or better.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So we talking about if you miss two shots and they make three, your 20-point lead is now 11. Let's say you have a great coach, you get a great timeout, you run the play. Okay, cool. Your lead is 13.
Right.
Three more threes, but your lead is 4.
You're back in the game.
And you know the Rockets, you know they
panicked. They went lemon booty.
They panicked they didn't receive some calls they should have gotten. Like that continuation 3-point that Harden got when it banked in. He should have shot a free throw on that. That would have stabilized the game a little bit. The pressure was mounting and it was coming, but I think Harden may have settled down just a little bit.
Nah, you know what, man? Harden went in full panic mode.
Yeah, he did.
That's the reason why he took those threes. And look, here's the thing. You in that type of game, you can't be no crybaby. Mm-mm. Didn't get it? You know what? I bet. I do it again. And I'm forcing the ref to try to call it. You ain't call it again? I bet. James Harden, he just looks defeated.
Yeah, he doesn't
look like, okay, bet, give me the ball. Y'all ain't going to stop me.
At no point did he give off the vibe that they could come back. And, I mean, it goes without saying. They went 0-27 and from three.
Just how? How
do you keep shooting it?
The thing is, and we grew
if
up half watching.
Half of those were two.
We go up. Well, that's the thing, Ken. When your threes aren't going, you
gotta
go get. And
they shot 63% from two.
You gotta go get better shots. And like I said, Eric Gordon, he missed a lot of threes. Trevor Ariza didn't make anything last night. He was what, 0 for 10?
What about?
Like that.
Oh, I gotta call out the coach. The coach listened to the critics about him playing 6 or 7 guys in game 6, and then this fool.
Yeah, yeah.
You already know. Put in Ryan. How many points did Ryan Anderson give up?
He gave up about 12 to Steph because Steph hit those threes on him.
That you gifted them.
And they isolated him so they
every
could
time.
Switch.
That's a bad coaching decision. Mm-hmm. You cannot put Ryan Anderson hasn't played in the whole game. That's D'Antoni fault.
I get why he wanted to put out because even Ski Mask Joe Johnson got in the game and he didn't do much. But at that point, he was trying to –
You don't put Ryan Anderson.
No, you don't put Ryan Anderson.
Mia Butte or whatever his name is.
But he's hurt too. And his – I think his shoulders was bothering him. So even him, he couldn't get his shots up. So he was
– Ryan Anderson didn't even shoot.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He didn't even
get
a shot off.
I think, you know, just – what was it, 7 for 44? I've never seen that before in the NBA. I mean, like at – and I text you guys that during the game. At some point, you got to say, you know what, timeout. Let's run a play. Let's get a good shot. Culture. Let's get a good 2-point shot. Let's get something going to the basket. Let's make the refs call it. You know, you
especially
can't
especially if you got Kevin Looney and Jordan Bell guarding.
Kevin,
you can put them in pick and roll over and
Kevin
over again.
Kevin Looney quietly played a very good game last night.
Yeah, but he'll make a couple of plays. But he was getting to the
but they
bucket.
Made him look like an all star when you're shooting threes.
Right, exactly.
You know,
I gotta ask you guys this. What do you do with Chris Paul now? And if you're Chris Paul, what do you do? Because he's an unrestricted free agent. So, like, he can't stay healthy.
No.
Well, I think he needs to get to a situation where his minutes can be managed a little bit more, where he can actually take some games off for rest.
How old is CP? He's out 35?
Like 35.
He's 35. I think he's a year or two older than Bron.
Okay.
Because me and Bron are the same age. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I always know
his age.
I'm
a little bit older than Brian.
Me too.
But I think I put it to you like this. what's going to hinder CP from coming back to Houston, and you guys just named it, Ryan Anderson and his contract.
Oh, yeah, that's
he
right.
He has a ridiculous contract. Because
nobody, you can't get rid of that contract.
No, you can't. You can't.
Paul will actually turn 34.
34, so he's the same.
Yeah,
he's
during next year's playoffs.
Same
yeah.
older than that, though.
He does.
Well, hey, but see, but that's the greatness of LeBron. LeBron don't look his age. No. Everybody else look their age. But can you look up what Ryan Anderson's contract is, Ken?
He's probably got about $30 million, maybe.
Oh yeah, no, he got stupid money. He's got and for the next year or two. So the thing is, it's untradeable.
No, because nobody wants that contract.
Nobody wants that contract. You can't waive him because he's still going to count against your team's salary cap. You know, for the amount of years.
About,
yeah, you laughing. Go ahead. What is it? How much?
This dude is making 19 mil.
Yeah. But how many more years does he still have?
He has two more years left at 20 and 21
yeah, man.
Million.
Ryan Anderson is a legend at the bank.
Hell
Four
yeah.
Year, $80 million
cash
contract.
Money.
Couldn't even play him in the playoffs.
Nope. Hey, nope, 20 million damn. A year. But
what about Gordon? What's his situation?
He's around that same price tag.
So they'd have to
that's
get
what I'm
Ron,
saying.
Wholesale,
they're gonna have to do what Miami did and basically clear house and just have James Harden and CP under contract and then sign LeBron. That's the only way that they'll be able to make it.
So you could conceivably, because LeBron's not going to take a pay cut.
No, he wants max money.
So you could conceive. So, but you can't max CP3, right? You can max Harden and LeBron.
You could max all three of them, and then you have minimum contracts, just like in Miami.
So you're going to let Capella walk?
You have to. You wouldn't be able to afford it.
He was damn near crying last night. Yeah, you got to let him go.
Who? Can you afford
Capella?
I mean, I know he's a utility player, but
you can't because he's part of the foundation of what they are. And I don't know if they can remake themselves. That's why if I'm CP, I might not come back to Houston.
I don't think I would either.
Where do you go? He seems like he likes Houston.
No, I'm not saying that he doesn't, right. But I think
Does he though?
I think he likes playing with James Harden.
He did until Game 6 and 7.
No, because I know how CP's thinking. CP's like, it don't matter what James Harden did. If I was out there, we would have won.
Right.
That's how CP's thinking. Ken, he look.
I don't know.
I think.
I don't know. Okay. About this one,
okay.
And the reason why I say that is because just look at his body language on the bench.
Of course, he's angry. Come on,
angry,
man.
But. He know who Harden you. It's one thing to play, like you play with him, and now you get into the moments you witness. You're in the locker room. You're on the court having to get him to do. You bouncing is trying to get him to get some bounce in him. Like, why do you have to do that?
Because some guys are like that, Ken.
Why would you want to come back to that?
Because he's good enough to you know what, to take a whole bunch of pressure off of you in a regular season.
Ken, you got to remember they did win 65 games,
and. So. He's good enough to get you to the seventh game in the Western Conference Finals. And if you're there, you know, in his mind, he's thinking it's a different story, regardless of whatever James Harden did or didn't do. And that's all he wants. That's all he needs. He hasn't had that guy in his entire career. The only other guy that
he exchanged Blake Griffin for James Harden.
But James Harden better than Blake Griffin.
But they both do the same thing in the play.
I feel you. So if we look at the landscape, right, like, you know, obviously I think San Antonio has to be in play, especially if they can re-sign Kawhi. I think because you got to remember, we are filtering down to championship contenders only.
Yes,
that's it.
You know what I'm saying? CP ain't going no.
I never really thought about CP being someplace other than Houston, to be honest. Until you just said that. I didn't really think about it.
Depending on what else New York can get this offseason, if they can land PG, and obviously they already have Kristaps.
PG going back to OKC.
Hell no.
Out there.
Nah.
His agent has said it.
I think he's going to L.A.
His agent said he was coming back to Indiana. So don't believe what the agent said. That's what he get paid to do.
Don't believe the agent and don't believe Chris Bassard.
Yeah.
He's trying to drive up the offer.
But I think if New York can land PG,
okay.
And obviously, you know, PG and CP going to talk.
Right.
So they PG ain't going to, you know, sign over there. CP ain't coming.
Right.
If PG go over there, I can see CP going over there. Mainly because of the coach Fizdale. I think he's gonna have a profound impact on luring free agents.
You're not winning in
but
the East.
You can't win.
Hey,
in
look,
New York,
I'm just talking about spots. No,
fantasy basketball,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
Now.
And you're usually right sometimes.
Yeah, most times.
It's not many places.
It's
he
not
can
many
go,
places.
That's what I was thinking.
Which
about.
Makes me think that I at least I'm hopeful that he stays in Houston.
You know, I
just don't know that. I mean, like, and I know we're getting ahead of ourselves. I just the idea of LeBron going to Houston, I think Philly's a better landing spot.
Oh yeah, 1,000%.
We've been.
You can stay in the East.
We've been. I don't know.
The West is a gauntlet. Why go there when you got to deal with Golden State? You got to deal with OKC.
Yeah, but if LeBron in a game seven, with
they would have won that game.
They would have won.
No question. I'm not saying like. I mean, if you get LeBron, CP, and Harden. Yeah, I take that against Golden State, but what I'm saying is I don't know what the rest of the team looks like because all of your money's tapped.
Exactly, because you have minimum contracts around them. And then the other thing, too, is if you look at D'Antoni's system, quote-unquote, it's pick-and-roll basketball with a couple of wrinkles. And I think at this point, LeBron has said he wants to play more off the ball.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going to happen when he goes to Houston? He's going to play on the ball. He's going to be pick-and-roll guy. Yeah. It'll be between him, Harden, and CP. And I just – there's not enough dribbles
right.
on the court to try to run that type of system with those three guys.
You play off
it's
the ball.
A problem. Yes. You know what? I think if he goes to Philly, and this is LeBron, if LeBron goes to Philly, we're going to see D-Wade and Bron 2.0. And what I mean by that is these full court alley-oops and stuff like to either one. I think that we're going to see that. I think that that's going to be the most exciting brand of basketball east of Golden State. Mm-hmm. I don't think nobody else is going to be able to play at their pace. Because, mind you, Philly played at the fastest pace in the NBA.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you add LeBron? Yo, LeBron...
And you know, I've gotten excited about him going to Philly. Now, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I get excited about it. Mainly because when I look at this team he has now,
so you think there's no chance of him coming back?
Hell no. The only way he would have came back if they would have got a top three pick. If this draft would have yielded them a top three pick, then yes, because the top three in this draft can.
Who are your projected top three?
Top three, Luka Doncic, Marvin Bagley, and DeAndre Ayton.
So one
in
of
that
those
order,
three.
Or?
No, just out there. But those three guys, I think if they go to a Cleveland squad with a LeBron, it elevates them.
Right.
All three of those guys.
Yeah, but LeBron's about winning championships. Are you really I know they're uber talented, but are they Jason Tatum?
I think that DeAndre Ayton, just his physical presence, you know what I'm saying, is something that they haven't had. So, yes, him by himself puts Cleveland in contention. You know what I'm saying? I think he helps. And also because when you have a big man like that, his whole life he's been reliant on a guard or a perimeter player to get him the ball. You know what I'm saying? Like you can be impactful immediately when you got Bron. Because Bron going to do all the heavy lifting still. Yeah. You just got to finish now. You know, and obviously throughout the course of the season, the mental aspect of the game is going to increase and increase. And there's going to be times where you, bro, what the hell is you doing? Like, right. You look like a rookie. But at the end of the day, more talent there than any other big man on the Cleveland's roster. In terms of Luka Doncic and Marvin Bagley is a tweener type of guy. I like him better than K-Love. And not saying that K-Love isn't an all-star. He is a perennial all-star. But at this point in his career, we see who can he guard, man.
Mm-hmm.
And Boston, he struggled with everybody.
Yep.
What you think he's going to do against Golden State? He's going to struggle with everybody. I don't want a guy like that. Marvin Bagley could come in, and if he gets lost offensively, that's fine. Play defense on this guy, that guy. Get rebounds, block shots, change shots. He can do that. That's why I like him. Now, Luka Doncic, you talking about a 6'8 perimeter guy?
Is he really that good?
He is that good.
Yeah, I've never seen play.
Man, we talking step back, vision, size, moxie, clutch gene. He wants it. Look, man, you're 19, averaging 20 in Spain? We're talking about the number two league in the world?
Okay.
Hidden, you know, he made it to the Final Four. You know, I don't know if they won. I
thought he won an MVP. I thought they won and he won the MVP.
I think I don't think it was the final four, because I remember like a couple weeks ago they were going into the final four. I don't know if he won regular season MVP. I don't know. I just know the dude is legit.
Right.
From what I've seen, the only question mark I have on him is legit NBA athleticism.
Okay.
But to me, that sometimes that can be overrated,
right?
Because basketball is a game of skill, and if you have the skill, you can overcome athletic deficiencies. So that's why I'm not worried about it. But if I had a question, that'd be the question.
And the people speak very highly of the clips I've seen are really nice. I think it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. As far as Cleveland, yeah. I think really just being able to drag this team to like you said, a new team.
Yeah.
To the finals. I don't think, you know, Cleveland fans could ask for much more. Mm-hmm. But we'll get into, you know.
I think everybody that watches basketball like that, like, come on, man, we know what it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We know. Like, this team, you take LeBron off, do they even make this playoffs in the East?
This is a lottery team. This is a lottery. This is the Hawks.
It is.
This is the Hawks.
You know what? This is Minnesota. This is Kevin Love's Minnesota Timberwolves squad again.
I don't even because, know if they're good.
But they didn't make no playoff.
Did they?
Oh, no, yeah, no, they didn't make no playoff. So what I'm saying is you take LeBron off, K Love goes back to 2010.
Yeah.
And they don't make no playoffs.
Yeah, facts. Yeah. I'm not I wouldn't be mad at him. And I don't think anybody could be mad.
You know, no.
If nothing else, LeBron gave the city of Cleveland a championship when nobody else thought it could happen.
Hey, here's the thing. LeBron's first stint with Cleveland, he got him to the finals one time.
Mm-hmm.
2007.
That was it, right? And we're talking, what was that, 3 years in? 4 years in?
I think that was...
Yeah, he was drafted in 2003. So four years in, right? So he was supposed to be a college senior, and he got out to the finals. Went to Miami, did his thing. You know, learn how to, you know, be the consummate pro.
Back.
Sure did. Got him an extra chip or two.
D-Wade
can't cut his eye at me.
And then when he comes back, first of all, they weren't supposed to win down 3-1.
No.
Even though I called it. I've been new. Yes, right? God. But they won, the only way I could put it is like the best championship in the NBA, in the NBA history. It's never been done. It's never happened before, and LeBron gave you that. Mm-hmm. And not only did he give you that, he gave you three other opportunities. And matter of fact, the first time he went, he should have won.
Yeah.
Right.
He should have won. It was just him by his damn self. He should have won that if he would have just had one other guy. K-Love or Kyrie, just give me one, we would have won.
What are you talking about, the first one against the Warriors?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
When K-Love got his arm pulled out by Kelly Olynyk in the second round of the playoffs against Boston,
and then Kyrie broke
his kneecap in the first game. If he would have had Kyrie for that entire series, they would have won. And I think they would have probably won in five.
I don't know about that.
I think so. You know why? Because I think that version of Golden State.
That was OKC.
Exactly. They didn't have championship swagger yet. They were damn near lucky to get there.
As they have been every single year they've made the finals.
Because they've had injuries along the way.
Kenneth.
Come on now, Kyle.
They've had major injuries to other players along the way.
I mean, you know,
Championship is a championship, but
we can't deny that.
No,
they've been fortunate. And going back, like you said, CP3, you got Kawhi going down last year. The year before that, it was Kyrie.
Kevin Love and Kyrie.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Golden State's benefited from it. You know, I won't sit here and deny that. If we talk about, obviously, the finals, you know, Cleveland underwhelmingly, you know, not – favorite to
the worst underdogs ever by Vegas.
Right.
We're talking about you have to bet $1,000 to make 300 for Golden State to win. If you say, "Yo, I bet Golden State wins," for you to make $300 back, you got to put down a band.
Damn,
hell no. Nah. Look, I think everybody understands that if Cleveland wins one, great job.
Yeah.
They win two, holy crap, you overachieved. They go seven. What is y'all doing?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? How you do that?
Right. Hey, but, you know, and I think I agree. I don't think this – I think this series
– It could be over next Friday.
I think it'll go five. I think Cleveland will get one at home, maybe game three, just on the emotion. And because here's the thing, and I was telling my boy this other day, if you turn Golden State over, you can win.
Well, that's the question.
But the how Cavs just,
can the Cavs win outside of LeBron?
You
got
to turn. You have to get Golden State in 15, 16, 17, 18 turnovers. That's how you beat them.
How did the Warriors?
They're like a 20. The Cavs are ranked 20-something in defense. So
No. They were ranked 25th for the season, but we can see that they're playing much better defense now.
But against much teams that don't have
exactly
the four all-stars.
Well, exactly. I mean, yeah. How much of that is attributed to Celtics' inexperience? Obviously, we know what happened with Toronto, so I wouldn't even mention them. and even against Indiana, they didn't have great
defense. Toronto might be the worst of this whole playoffs.
Oh, my God, man.
How did the Rockets do it? We know they were
the
great.
The Rockets got more guys.
You got to put up points.
Eventually, when you look at that team, though, game six and seven.
Who's their Ariza? Who's the Cleveland's Ariza?
Yeah.
Who's the equivalent?
The 0-4-11 Ariza, bro.
No. Ken. But we're not talking offense right now. We're not talking offense.
P.J. Tucker.
Oh, Ariza's
well
out there primarily for defense. Who is the equivalent on the Cavs roster to Trevor Ariza? Give me one guy. Can you?
No, I can't.
Okay, give me P.J. Tucker. Who's the equivalent over there?
In terms of output and in terms of production, when CP3 went down, and CP3 is how they took him, at least got him to seven, because he got three wins, right?
Right.
He won two games by himself.
Right.
Okay.
Because Harden disappeared.
Right.
Again.
So, but when you look at the rest of that roster and compare it to the Cleveland roster, when they lost CP3, they were average at best. It was James Harden or bust. It was really a Western version of Cleveland.
But that's offensively, though, Ken. We know what they are. Pick and roll, isolation, driving kick, hit open shots. That's exactly what Cleveland is. The difference with Houston this year is they have guys that hang their hat on the defense. Who's Clint Capella equivalent over here in Cleveland? Because you better not tell me no damn Tristan Thompson.
There it is.
Get out of here with all that. They don't defensively.
Hey, he just got
they
back
don't
in the
have
lineup.
The equivalence on the Cavs roster.
I understand defensively, but I just look at the biggest thing we look at with the Cavs is offensively. Where are they going to get production? Who's going to score?
LeBron.
When I looked at that Rockets team, I was like, where are they going to score? Who's gonna score for them? Nobody could score outside of Eric Gordon.
Well, they had like four or five guys in double figures in their wins. But the thing is that Cleveland has been so inconsistent offensively, you know, throughout this playoffs. You've got LeBron, and it's, well, can he get help? You know, it's beyond. You're going to need more
enough
than help.
Right.
You're going to need more than help.
But Golden State's benches and all that.
Well, to be honest,
they got four guys.
They really didn't need to. They have their moments. We saw game six where Klay goes the freak off. And then, and that's what you're going to get in the series. You're going to get Klay have a game where he go off. You're going to have a game where Steph goes off. You're going to have a game where all three of them go off. And quiet as kept, Kevin Durant disappeared, you know, in a couple of these games. And, you know, we talked about it via text, you know. People let him off the hook.
They started to get on him a little bit more, but yeah, I think we were like
years ago.
We started, yeah.
OKC. I remember against Memphis. He came down and missed two free throws.
Yep.
AD.
He was choking in that last game. He missed like three free throws early. Couldn't hit a shot. And then all of a sudden, you know, once they start rolling, that's it. And once they started rolling, man, and they got their confidence going, that was it. Kevin Durant he could relax and the shots came a little bit easier, and I'll give him his credit. He hit some big shots down the stretch, but at that point, you already lead, and there's no pressure.
I think Durant started to feel some pressure when CP and those guys were coming right back at him, and they found themselves.
There was pressure to start the game, yes.
Yeah, and losing, they saw themselves down, and, you know, at Kevin Durant is looking around, and everybody's looking at him like, bro, we need you. And then Houston did a good job of getting Golden State out of their motion, out of their moving offense, and they started going one-on-one. And then Kevin Durant started to look like OKC Kevin Durant.
It's clear as day that Kevin Durant, and I think he even said it, is one of the reasons why he wanted to go there.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to make his life easier.
Oh, it's much easier.
And he didn't want to deal with the pressure of having to be the guy.
But, there's a certain the guy in OKC is different than being the guy like in Boston or the guy in Dallas. You know what I'm saying? Because we've talked about it. That head coach, right? Regardless of the last two head coaches that were there are not the right championship type of head coaches, right? Also, look at the teammates. Even though, what's his name? I love the GM over there. I can't think of his name.
The team. What's the team?
OKC.
Sam Presti.
Drafted three MVP. I've never seen that ever in life. You know what I'm saying? He's gotten talent, whether it's through the draft, through trades, or whatever. I think that the overwhelming thing that was happening in OKC was, number one, nobody was checking Russ, right? Because that shouldn't be all the way KD's job because of his personality, number one. Number two, they never got the head coach or a system. So it's not about necessarily being the guy. KD's going to naturally be
the guy.
Right,
so forget about OKC. Boston wanted him. What if he went to Boston, playing under Brad Stevens, in a system?
Okay, I got
less pressure. Right? Because the way that we saw it, right? Yeah. So that would have been different. You didn't have to go to State. I guess that's what I'm looking at.
He didn't have to, right? But the summer that he made his decision, where else he was going to go to truly compete for a championship? Because it wasn't going to be San Antonio.
Right.
It could have been Boston.
That's another part of LeBron's legacy. He made Kevin Durant go to Golden State.
People actually use that.
he legitimately did. He created. People made their remarks about Miami having a super team, but
we know the deep.
My point is that LeBron's them beating that 73 win team caused them to go get Kevin Durant. So it made it easier
to go.
No question.
Because I think regardless, that's where he was going to land.
Yeah, I think so too. Once he found out it was on the table, and I think this Golden State team, obviously they're loaded, and if Cleveland gets a win, I think that's respectable.
It's just going to be very depressing.
It's basketball, man.
It's just, I just don't even want to see the brother go down like that, man.
Man, enjoy watching LeBron basketball.
I can't enjoy watching this. It's an unfair fight.
Well, see, you got a dog. I don't have a dog in the fight. My team ain't playing, so I don't care. But I'm a fan of the game, so I love watching basketball.
I am too, and that's why I'm excited about him possibly going to Philly. Because if this is Sixers team with LeBron, versus Golden State in the finals.
Oh no, that's a difference.
Hey,
it's a difference.
Hey,
story. Here's the thing. Okay, so let's not get too ahead of ourselves, right? Because I do my research for the stuff I'm definitely interested in. So I don't know if y'all knew this. JJ Redick actually turned down more money from different teams to actually sign with Philly.
Wow.
Houston offered him $28 million a year. You know what I'm saying? And a multi-year deal.
He only took a one-year deal,
took a one-year deal with Philly. So, obviously, if they get LeBron and he wants to say, he's going to have to come on way down on the price, right? So, is it going to be the same exact Philly team? I don't know. And then, also, you have to think, Philly has a treasure trove as well. First of all, it's Boston with the most assets and young players and picks and all that. The second team is Philly. Right, so what if you package up a whole bunch of draft picks, Markelle Fultz, and go get you another guy on top of LeBron? So to me, Philly isn't necessarily going to be the same exact Philly, but what we know, right, and all we want is Embiid and Ben Simmons and LeBron. Anything else is gravy.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, and I think they could definitely make that work. And if Redick come back, it would be great because now you got
that.
A shooter.
They need that.
They could probably package, send Saric off.
Either Saric or Robert Covington.
Robert Covington got to go. Yeah, he got to go, man.
He disappeared in the playoffs.
Yeah, he did. Nah, he got to go.
He did, but
he's hit or miss. He's hit or miss. He plays defense. He's a good defender.
And he plays defense.
And he's almost a 40%. And he's a high 30% three-point shooter.
When he's hitting, yeah.
But he hit all season.
It's, but except when they needed him.
I feel you, but you know what? But Bron and elevates you. So I don't mind having – I'd rather have Robert Covington than Jeff Green, J.R. Smith, damn near
younger.
Kyle Korver.
He's younger.
I'll probably take Jeff Green.
I don't know.
Jeff Green is more talented than Robert Covington.
So, Ken, how many games is this series going? As he lets out a deep sigh.
It's tough.
Six.
Who wins?
Cleveland.
Get out of
it. Hey, turn this damn mic off, man. What the hell are you talking about? You know better than that.
I'm going the same six, but Golden State.
You think it'll go six?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, here's the thing. Off bat, like I've always said, a superstar gets you one game regardless of the playoff series. Right. So LeBron going to get you that. I think that Golden State, because they're just overconfident, they can let one go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's going to happen.
I can see that. And I think B said what, five?
B probably think it's going to be a sweep.
Yeah, B might call for a sweep.
But
now LeBron too great for that. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, they're going to have to do something. I think it'll be good. To be honest, I don't even know if the games will be blowouts. I think there might be a blowout here or there. But I think the thing that is going to concern – I don't want to say concern. The thing that the narrative is going to be about this – quote-unquote dynasty. Do you necessarily have a dynasty from Golden State if they win, assuming that they win, but then we just saw them get blown out in a series, you know, in a game in a series by 30 points, you know, wherein when we looked at the previous dynasties over the 80s and 90s, those teams did, I mean, you rarely had playoff games where guys lost by 10.
Yeah, but it's, again, it's a different era. So if we're not going to try to compare the LeBron to any other era, then let's not do it with the teams. But since we are, because that's what our show is, you can't – there's just so many more threes being shot.
Okay.
Right? That back in the day, an 8-point or 12-point win is like a 20-point win.
Oh,
now.
Hell yeah. Hell,
you know, you get up so many more attempts overall. You get up way more 3-point attempts, and then you can also kind of bury a team earlier. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, because we've seen Golden State bury teams middle third quarter.
Yeah,
you know, it might be close. You might have a lead on Golden State, and then come on one of these 28-4 runs.
Be like the Rockets.
It's the game.
25 points in the second half,
bruh. When they went on that run last night, I was like, this is it. Like there was once they got up, I was like. You could just tell they weren't coming back from that.
Yeah.
It was just, I was like, well, they're not going to beat them by 20, but they're going to win by 10 at least. Like, and you could just tell the defeat was there.
I think out of any team I've watched in all my years watching basketball, the most demoralizing team is this Golden State Warriors team because
– More demoralizing than that Bulls team?
Yeah, because the Bulls team was like a slugger. And they're going to just beat you to a pulp the whole game.
Yeah.
You're going to feel every shot. And Golden State is just like, okay, we in it. Bah, 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 bah. Oh, what the hell? You out of it.
Well, you know what the thing about the Bulls team that always impressed me was that.
Yeah, they shaking and shimmying
on you.
The Bulls team would just defensively just swarm the hell out of you.
I mean,
like you would have Pip on one wing, you have Jordan on the other wing, you got Rodman in the middle holding down the post, you got Kukoc coming off the bench.
It's a different.
You had Ron Harper starting at the point. He's 6'6" long. Mm-hmm. I mean, like defensively, they would just get in your ass, and like you couldn't do nothing. And like you could literally see teams feel helpless.
You know, it's like. The Bulls were like Mike Tyson, Muhammad Ali, where they're just they're heavyweights. They'll just, you know, knock you out. The Warriors are like Bruce Lee, you know, Fist of Fury. They just blah, 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 blah. And then that's, you know, you don't see it coming because they're hitting you from all kind of places. You get kicked, you get chopped in the neck, you know, and next thing you know, you're down.
They'll let them bring out the nunchuck.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
They bring out the nunchuck, you're doing a jack. You know what I'm saying? So
it's a wrap. Yeah, I think it'll be an entertaining series. I think Draymond will do something dumb.
I'm ready for the offseason.
I'm not. I really enjoy having a basketball game on to watch each night.
It is. And we are for programming note, we will be recording our live reactions to the game for the first four or five games. After
we're going to try to live stream
it. Yeah, we're going to try to live stream it as well. We got like 15 minutes left on the card.
You want
to
touch on the NFL?
Yeah. Yeah, the national anthem. man, I don't know. Yeah, what do you – I'll let you kick it off, Kyle.
Well, as many of you know – we won. Yankees won. Nice. As many of you know, the NFL came out with this policy all before they did not have a policy regarding the national anthem. They are now telling in their players that they must be on the field at the same time in a single file line, standing and quote-unquote respecting the flag. You do have the option of not being on the field. You can remain in the locker room, and that goes for players and I think personnel, which really – the NFL, I've always said, is reactionary. They are so behind the time and behind the curve. Now, keep in mind, all other leagues have this same policy. So this is nothing new. But the fact that when you look at the fact that the – I don't even want to say protest because it's not even protest. The demonstrations of guys taking a knee during the national anthem had died down. Nobody was doing it. Mm-hmm. Nobody did it during the playoffs. Nobody did it during the Super Bowl. The fact that the NFL comes up with this knee-jerk reaction policy, you know, it just speaks volumes as to how out of touch the NFL is. Moving forward, now they have this policy. And, of course, you know, some players are talking. And, I mean, right now we're in the offseason, so we don't know. But, you know, there's talk that some players will find other ways. Now, this is interesting because it does say that you have to stand and salute the flag, but that doesn't mean you can't stand up and raise your fist in there. It doesn't mean, you know, so there are different ways if you want to protest around this issue. And I think the NFL with their knee-jerk reaction, you know, they just it looks bad again because the NFL still does. They don't have a clue. But in fairness, if you will, to the NFL, they've never had a clue, especially regarding their players. And I'll get into that in a second. But I mean, you got people now, even more people that I'm seeing saying, well, hey, they're doing this. They didn't get capped back in the league. Colin Kaepernick, Eric Reed, who's, you know, stood beside Colin Kaepernick and took a knee, free safety, free agent, you know, can't even get a call from a team. You know, people are talking about boycotting again. You know, there's a lot of people that boycotted the NFL last season. Even more people that I know talking about boycotting and not watching the NFL this year.
Wow.
So I don't know that, you know, to be honest, the NFL just, they stirred up the pot when it didn't necessarily need to be stirred up. I mean, this issue, and really the idea and the thought of taking a knee was hijacked by the NFL. When you had Jerry Jones doing a damn taking a knee before the anthem got played, I mean, it was like, you know, they did the dab. Like, you know, it's ridiculous, man. So my thing is with the NFL, I mean, they got it wrong again. It's not going to stop me from watching the NFL. And the reason, and I always say this, I don't begrudge anybody who says that they won't watch. The reason why I will watch the NFL and continue to watch, because I don't think people care about the players. Honestly, if we're being honest, we're going to keep a buck. We don't care about the players. Mm-hmm. We care about the teams. We don't care about the players. These players are risking their lives for our entertainment. That's just the way, because I play football, I understand what it is. It's entertainment. Do I feel for them? Of course I feel for them because, again, they're getting concussions and having head trauma and body parts broken up. And when they walk away from the game, I won't say walk away, most of them are pushed away from the game. Guess what? They're never on my radar again, just like every other Joe fan. So I don't begrudge anybody that says that they won't watch. I will say this much. Boycotting by not watching, it's been proven. The NFL has already made their money from advertisers. So it don't matter if they get 2% ratings as far as viewership. That deal that they signed is a 5-year. They're in year one of this contract with the TV rights. So no, you're not hurting the NFL. You're taking a stand, and I applaud anybody who does that. But no, you're not killing the ratings by not watching. They could care. The NFL has that check. That bag is secured and it's safe. And, you know, again, I don't begrudge anybody that wants to boycott, but, you know, if you really, really want to boycott, by not watching, boycott their sponsors too.
Yep. That's
because that's where the money's at.
That's what I saw on Twitter, and somebody said that unless you have a Nielsen box, you're not watching the NFL, is not even being tracked or recorded. No. But what are the sponsors. And for me, I've been conflicted because, you know, I protested last year by not watching.
And I commend you for it because I don't know how you did it.
And, you know, after a while, it started out rough because it was part of my Sunday. But after a while, right. You know, it was tolerable. But, you know, I think for me this year when the news broke, I was disappointed because, you know, on one hand, this is a rule everywhere else. And this is where my conflict comes in at. They're just instituting a rule that's everywhere else.
Yeah.
But they're instituting a rule in reaction to what happened last year. And, again, this shows that it's the fear of the black man, you know, because we don't know what the Negroes are going to do, so we're going to put a rule in place to stop them from doing it, even though this issue was dying down anyway. Because – Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed have been martyred.
Mm-hmm.
And the message had been gotten across.
Right.
You protest, you do anything, you're out the league.
You're out the league.
That's it, period. And people are going to point to guys like Michael Bennett and all these other guys that are still in the league. And that's different because I think they, you know, they still got contracts and whatever, whatever. So they'll honor those. But the message has been sent, and it's been very clear. You know, we will just keep you out of the league because we're not going to have you damaging, you know, our quote-unquote bottom line. I get so tired of hearing right. that. But, you know, because they did it in reaction to that and still are not signing, you know, Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed, it just bothers me because it's another sign of white supremacy, you know, of the system just – putting their hand down, you know, and not being thoughtful and mindful of what's taking place and the reasons why. And that's why. So I haven't decided what I'm going to do this year. I'm still processing it all. I'm trying to really honestly not listen to any commentary on it, read anything on it, because it just incites me. It just gets me angry all over again. And I don't have time for that type of energy.
You know what
for something really, I can't control anymore.
Right. You know what really started to bother me and really bothered me years ago about the NFL was hearing the stories of former players when they would file disability claims. The NFL actually defines a disability as you not being able to physically work. Now, the three of us know that's not what disability is. Disability, you could break your arm and be like, well, you know what? I can't lift my arm anymore, so I should get a check because I can't work. The NFL they intentionally go out of their way to not pay disability claims on their players. They will say, okay, well, if you have a concussion, you may have had a pre-existing brain condition. You may have had – no, you didn't. We don't know that these hits that you took in your 10-year career resulted in whatever claims that you're trying to make. So, you know, when I found out the NFL was doing that to his former players, you know, and of course this was before the lawsuits and all this other stuff, you know, I just started looking at the NFL for what it is. They don't care, and they never have cared, and they pretend, you know, yeah, you see the guys come out and they're dapping up Roger Goodell at the thing at the draft, and everybody's suited and booted and mom's happy because we made it, you know, but after that, you're an employee.
Yep.
You
know?
You're an employee, and they want to control the narrative. You know, no, I didn't know what Lawrence Taylor felt like in 1986 because there was no social media. You know, probably for his sake, probably a good thing that there wasn't. But we didn't know what Jerry Rice thought. You know, but now I know what Tom Brady thinks. Tom Brady can tweet something. I know exactly where he is. Like, we know what Kaepernick is doing. And Kaepernick's not going to play another down in the NFL, and that's sad. But this collusion case that he has, oh, he's going to get paid.
Yeah,
you know,
he got a case.
Yeah, oh, he's got more than a case. Given the fact that they created this, that lets you know right now, this is more than beyond collusion. And I'm pretty sure when the deposition comes out, and it will leak at some point in time, we're going to be privy to some of these emails between these owners and these conversations that were never made public that, you know, yeah, there was a concerted effort to keep this brother out of the league.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, now it's like it's all about, okay, everybody in place. And yeah, they say, okay, yeah, well, we'll appease you. If you don't want to stand for the national anthem, you can stay in the locker room. Man, if you stay in the locker room, you know for a fact that there's going to be somebody in that stadium counting all of those players.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And if they're not 53 players, they're going to tell you. There'll be tweets and pictures of everybody who was not out there. Mm-hmm. So the NFL is full of shit, man. They've always been full of shit. And I don't blame you or anybody else that said that they won't watch it. I just – it's a level of entertainment, and it's a business. And I think, you know, they're really trying to flex their muscles, but what the NFL is doing is backfiring. And what's going to happen is we won't see the effects now, but 10, 15, 20 years from now, this NFL that we see now, it won't exist, not in this capacity.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I'll close with this. And that's a good point, because I think I became disillusioned with the NFL when I used to hear those stories. You see, not Eddie George, but what was the other guy?
Steve Mina?
No, running back can barely walk.
Oh, Earl Campbell.
Earl Campbell. Yeah, and they're like, the NFL cares nothing about the S players. So there's this saying out that there's a war on football. There's not a war on football. There's a war on the NFL's shady practices,
mm-hmm.
on how they mistreat their players and their ex-players. And this is an extension of it. And this just shows that. So, you know, as long as people are going to sit up there and watch and football is a religion, this will continue. But I do agree that they will feel this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they just won't feel it now.
No.
So we'll see what happens from there. So anyway, that's gonna do it for us this week. So the playoffs are set. The finals are set. Finals, I should say.
Our predictions are in.
Yep, our predictions are in.
Ken's got
Cleveland in six. Yep, Cleveland in six.
So that means
that's how you know they're doomed.
They would win on their home court.
Yeah, Cavs.
Okay. So they won't have.
I haven't picked the Warriors, man, since they made the finals.
And you keep picking the Cavs. You know, I thought you was crazy for picking.
I do.
I actually picked the Cavs to win in seven. So I feel you in that. No, I got Golden State in five. I think it'll be, you know, I think it'll be entertaining. I think, you know, this is for Cleveland fans. I think this is the last time you can see LeBron in the Cleveland uniform. So enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I think B's got a sweep. And FIFO, you said you got them in six?
Yeah,
Warriors in six?
Warriors in six.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There it is. It's documented. Duly noted.
Yep. So, all right. Well, we'll get out of here. We'll catch you guys next time. Peace.
5,000.